All right. I guess that's me. I gotta get the echo out of my. You guys can probably hear that. Sorry about that. It wouldn't be a Monday without an echo. Give me a thumbs up if you guys can hear me this morning. It is a great Monday morning and glad to be with you guys. We're back at it for another Bitcoin Veterans Spaces, number 220. Big milestone day. 220. Good stuff. All right. Guys, if you're new to this, we do this every weekday at 10 a.m. Eastern. And we also did a fun little test on Saturday with TJ. And that was fun. So we had episode 219 and a half. And I think it worked out pretty well. Got a lot of listeners, and it's good to collaborate. And TJ's a frequent listener. Appreciate him. And really good stuff for Saturday. Go back and listen to that one. Follow TJ as well. But my name is Bob Van Kirk. I'll be your host this morning. And I am joined on stage by BFP Texas Toast. Get a few other invites out there. I think AC. And my screens are bugging out as usual. Gotta love spaces. But today is Monday, July 14th, 2025. Let's look at the Bitcoin stats. We are currently sitting at Bitcoin block height number 905,520, with the Bitcoin price hovering just under $122,000, which means you can still pick up 821 sats for each US dollar. All right. Last bit of housekeeping before we jump into it this morning. Just as a reminder to everyone in the audience, we'd love to have you come up. Please feel free to hit that microphone button. Always good to have new voices in the space. If you can't speak, please throw a question or a comment down in that comment box. You just hit that purple pill and you can type in where it says post your reply. And we will try to monitor that as the show goes on. We run this space usually for about an hour. But guys, please share the space. We have 50 people in here. Awesome to have a good start here this morning. Maybe it's because of new all-time highs over the weekend. Maybe you're just excited and alive this Monday morning, but wanted to say good morning to Texas Toast and BFP. How are you guys doing today?
It's a wonderful day. Good morning, Bob. 123. It's a good number. You know, it's not high enough though. We gotta keep, it's never enough. We have to ask for more. And we're gonna get it. Come hell or high water.
BFP, I'm cueing the birds. No matrix birds though this Monday. What's up?
Great day for a great day. Yeah, it's there's the birds. Birds are chirping as usual.
Good stuff. Let's see. AC, I see you joined us. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys.
All right. Well, we got a few of us up here. Would love to see some more. Let us know if you can come up. I see Coleman, Hunter. Say good morning to a few other people, Christians in the audience, TJ, Free Range, Citizen, Nemo, D7R, Michael, bunch of other people. I'm doxing you all. No, I'm just kidding. But thanks for being here. The Real Bitcoin Jesus, International Trading, who is the best reposter of our spaces. So thank you for that. Always on top of that. ITOD, Bitcat, Alien Tech. Yeah, lots of familiar faces. Sorry if I missed you, but I see Wade, RR Cobes, Pleb Ed. All right, I could name these all off, but thanks for joining us again. All right, so let's see. Where do we start off? Guys, it's crypto week. Can't believe we have to put up with a full week of this. U.S. House of Representatives designates this week crypto week in advance of key legislation. What do you guys know about it? What are they talking about? Do you even care? Based on the Bitcoin all-time high.
All when I hear crypto. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, all I know is that my no-coiner friends and family have heard of this week. It seems to be driving retail a little bit. And who knows, maybe it'll be a sell the, you know, what is it? Buy the news, sell the reality or whatever. So who knows, maybe once it all goes through, we'll see a dip, but or who knows, it just, maybe this is the, just the spark of, you know, huge price action. We got all time highs, that coupled with something that, normies can munch on, and you got yourself an explosive concoction.
Yeah.
When I hear crypto, I just think of people that have a lot of learning to do. When you're not talking about Bitcoin, you're still talking about crypto. It's like, are we still talking about these Epstein files? Really? No, I'm just kidding about that, but that's my take.
AC, any thoughts on this one? Are you excited to hear Elizabeth Warren rail against the crypto machine?
Bob, in honesty, I kind of feel nothing for this, although I think that, you know, everything is good for Bitcoin. I think on the agenda, they've got Genius Act related to stable coins, Clarity Act related to, regulatory clarity, I guess. And then obviously they've got anti-CBDCs focused on surveillance or anti-surveillance. So it'll be interesting. Ultimately, in the end, Bitcoin doesn't know, Bitcoin doesn't care, and it's going to be TikTok next block.
Yeah, I think that's a great point and agree. Probably the one that's maybe most important to all of us, I think, for freedom is this anti-CBDC bill, which is good. But then also, you could look at it as stable coins being, the Genius Act being a real big catalyst for Bitcoin. It'll make it a lot easier, I think, in the future for people just to exchange their dirty fiat for Bitcoin. So, I'm curious to see what comes out of this. I think it's a nothing burger overall in terms of Bitcoin, to AC's point. And yeah, Crypto Week, great name. I just can't believe we have to deal with a whole week of it. So, I'll try not to bring it up too much unless we hear something truly notable, but let's tackle the big elephant in the room. It's already kind of mentioned by Texas Toast. Bitcoin hits a new all-time high, just over $123,000. I did also see that. This is just homage to Texas Toast's comments last week, I think, or the week before. I don't know. I lose track of time. But now it's over 100,000 euros. So that may be notable as well. So thoughts on this, guys? What's going through your brain? Are you guys excited? Are you taking profits yet? What are you guys thinking?
It's a true all-time high. You know, after the euro, now that, what's the last thing to break? Gold. It's all time highs in gold. Has that been, broken yet? I think we're close. Let's see. I can pull it up in 2 seconds. We are at, we're right there. And it's just going up forever. There's nothing they can do about it, and it's going to force everything to bend to the will of Bitcoin. And today's a good day. This week, you should gloat. You should really rub it in people's faces so that they never buy and they stay poor forever. That's probably the best course of action.
Matrix Bird?
Yeah, that it's funny you say that, because I talked to a guy yesterday who I always talk about it with, and he he said, so what do you do now? Do you sell? And it just cracks me up how normies just, they're not even close to getting it. Like, when you're, five sats, that's taking profits. Like if you mine fiat or you have a job, you're taking profits when you're buying Satoshis and you're cashing out in the ultimate currency that holds your value. It's just hard to conceptualize. We've lived in this paradigm of fiat currencies forever.
Yeah, it really Toast. It messes with your mind. Go ahead, AC.
What up, dude?
Hey, Toast. I was just kind of curious. What do you use when you're checking Bitcoin denominated in gold? I've looked at a couple different things, but I'm just curious what other people use to make that comparison.
Yeah, I'm not sophisticated. I just use the TradingView XAU BTC pair. And right now it's sitting at like 0.0275. So we got a little bit to go. If it breaks below basically 0.025, then we go down to the pits of hell for the gold bugs. And we're never looking back.
Yeah, it's funny, man. I don't know if you saw this, but Peter Schiff has now shifted to silver for everyone. Hey, trade in your BTC for silver. It's already run up how much, and you're just going to, you know, I don't know. He just comes up with all kinds of funny stuff. So I do see we have Coleman up here and would love to get his thoughts. He has been somewhat of a gold bull and been correct, where I've been wrong. And so I do have to give him props on this. Coleman, how are you?
Hey, good morning, everybody. Can y'all hear me okay? I'm in the truck traveling from the lumber yard. I think I saw Bob give me a thumbs up. Cool. I missed a lot of the first conversation. Heard talking about gold and Bitcoin price. I still think gold is good. It has some legs to run. You're just in a different paradigm, right? I think it's Darius Dale, puts out really good reports, and I kind of follow along his macro thoughts where gold is still going to run a little bit as global powers start to shift and there's the world is just different, right? Trump is putting on tariffs every week and then taking them off. Trust in the current system is at an all-time low. It's just a banana republic, so you need to go to something that nobody can really manipulate. And I say that with an asterisk, right? Gold's heavily manipulated in the price, and we all know, everyone here knows that Bitcoin is the fastest horse, and it's truly decentralized. So I wouldn't tell anybody to, you know, sell Bitcoin to buy gold, or quoting Peter Schiff, sell Bitcoin to buy silver. I think that's sorry for the use of the word, but retarded. Bitcoin is Bitcoin for a reason. Do I think you should be diversified? Yeah, I think, you know, if the world goes to crap, I think there'll be a role for silver, not so much for gold, but I'm not telling you to take a huge position. I think if you have a couple hundred dollars in silver, a couple hundred dollars in gold, I think you'll be set for the zombie apocalypse if it ever happens. Sorry, it's kind of a little bit of a rant.
No, I agree. That couple hundred dollars, that last thing you said, I think is the important thing, because if you're like a, you know, middle income wage earner, and you're looking at all your, you know, portfolio of assets, and you're thinking, oh, I need to put like 10% in gold or silver, I think that's the wrong move. I think you get a little bit just as that, you know, hedge on the extreme end world apocalyptic, you know, scenario. And that's not even a stock. That's like you have the actual physical item in a safe, in your gun safe, and you've got it. And, you know, that's your hedge. But to try to allocate, you know, any significant amount at this point, especially after you understand Bitcoin and you're not in the upper echelon of like top 1% of wealth holders on the planet, then I think that's too big of an allocation. that comes later once you kind of diversify into other assets. Once you have, a level of wealth that can justify holding on to. Right now, I can't speak for everybody, but for myself, it's like I'm looking to escape. I want to reach escape velocity first. Bitcoin's the asset to do that with, over a long period of time. And then maybe later down the road, I'll kind of diversify into other assets, but whether that be land, or gold a little bit more, gold's more of a hold on to your wealth asset, not in the traditional sense in the dollar term, but Bitcoin is in this phase of adoption is the grow your wealth. And eventually as it takes over gold, it really kind of overtakes that hold on to your wealth status as well.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how Wall Street reacts to this. A lot of people have been looking at this for a long time. How many times does Bitcoin have to hit a new all-time high and then dip and then hit a new all-time high before you start paying attention? I do think asset allocators are in disbelief yet again. And so it's really interesting. I do think you have, a lot of the old guard has started to retire. And so you have younger people who have come up and have been watching this asset, versus gold and silver, other things. I do think to a large extent, they're putting it in that same bucket. They're either putting it in the quote unquote crypto bucket, or some of them do look at it as a commodity, which by the way, I saw some testimony from, I think it was last week, from, I think it was a Wisconsin senator, and it was a Ohio senator, the new senator that replaced J.D. Vance. He was ripping on the CFTC commissioner who's lobbying to regulate cryptocurrency. And so he basically lambasted him because he called it, he referenced it as something that it wasn't, just a token. He said it was a token, a virtual token. And Moreno from Ohio said, this is why we can't have the CFTC looking over Bitcoin, because they don't even know what it is. Bureaucrats don't even know what Bitcoin is. And he referenced it yet again. Since 2014, it was the CFTC itself had labeled Bitcoin a virtual commodity. So I think, guys, what we're seeing is there's just still a ton of confusion. And so if you think that you're early, man, you are, because these guys don't know. And that's kind of one of my big messages is I talk to people, they say, man, the price is so high, what's going on? And it's like, you're not too late. You need to understand that. I actually wrote a Substack article over the weekend and did a little research, and it's estimated that only 10 million people own a significant amount of Bitcoin. And by significant, I mean $1,000 or more. And so, yeah, if you guys think you're late, you're not. This thing is just getting started. And yeah, it's exciting, obviously, to see new all-time highs. Go ahead and jump in on that, Coleman.
Well, I was going to ask you, I think I'm going to die on this hill until we get to $1 million of Bitcoin. But I still think like a significant amount of Bitcoin is get to the left of the decimal. I still think that there's time. I don't think we're getting to $1 million next week. I still think there's a chance for people to get to this. And once we get to a number I think is too high, I'll change it. But I'd like to know your number, Bob. What is a significant amount of Bitcoin that people should strive? What's the number of Bitcoin that you think people should strive for?
Yeah, obviously it's running further and further away from people. So if you're just getting started, I think the biggest mistake all of us make, whether it's me or anybody on stage or anybody in the audience or just in, I'd say Bitcoin X or Bitcoin Twitter, is a lot of people compare themselves to other people, especially if you're just getting in, because you're thinking, man, somebody bought this thing at $100. And when you do that, you really put yourself, I think, at a disadvantage from just a mental standpoint. And then you also take undue risks and you're just trying to catch up to everybody else, and you shouldn't be doing that. The better thing is really to focus on the controllables for you. So work hard. I put this in my bio and I say this stuff all the time, but work hard, study hard, be teachable, have a good attitude, and stack sats. Like, just do what you can do and do it in a way that's responsible and disciplined. And I tell people, write a written plan. Like, have a goal, write it down, revisit it, and accomplish what you can do. So personally, I believe that God entrusts us with certain skills and abilities, but also with resources and talents. And so when I look at things, I say, I have to do the best with those things that I've been given. And you can't go outside of that. You have to just make use of what you have in front of you. And so I would just tell you, quit comparing yourself to other people. And but if I had to say a number, like if your income is such that you're spending a large majority of your, you know, your income on Starbucks coffees or things that are just like unnecessary, you have to look at budgeting first. Like, how can I cut some of this waste out? Where can I forego some of this? And really, it's this idea of time preference. So can I make investments today that are going to pay dividends in the long term, in the future? And so I really think that just my background in finance makes me think this way. Like, I did a lot of education early on in my career for people just about savings. And this had nothing to do with Bitcoin. It's just learning how to budget and living below your means. And then obviously we know where the excess should be saved. Bitcoin, not strategy stock, not shit coins, none of this other stuff is going to be lasting and actually provide you with value. I do see we have some hands at my rant. I'll end. I didn't even answer your question, Coleman, directly, like in terms of amount, but I think you just have to do the best with what you've been given and control the controllables. So let's go with BFP first. And if there's any Matrix birds, I'm going to go right to Mike.
All right. Now I'm done walking the dog. I think a good number is 10 million sats, and that'll change to 1 million Satoshis when we get a little bit further up the, probably 500,000 or a million on the price. But, and I think that number, 10 million Satoshis for each family member you have that you want to, you know, get in this wagon before it's too late, because it is going to be an exponential curve. It's a parabola form.
And just
so that's my
BFP, just for the listener. So your assertion is how many sats? 100,000?
10 million.
Okay. So
10 million sats. So that's 0.1 Bitcoin.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect. All right.
For babies, you know, any child. So especially, your children, but nephews, nieces, whatever. Whoever you want to get involved.
Mike, how are you this morning, sir?
Good morning, guys. I just got done on my run, so don't mind me if I'm catching my breath during this. But I wanted to add that kind of in between what all of you guys have already said, I personally like the aggressiveness of Coleman suggesting to get to one Bitcoin or more. Like, that would be great. But I... unfortunately, the vast majority of Americans, that's well beyond what they can do, especially like if we're looking at how quickly Bitcoin is rising. If it's already doing this in the next couple of years, even after the bear market, like, I have a hard time believing that the bear market's going to take us much lower than 100,000. And even if it does, it's still getting to 75 or something like that. And that's still well out of most Americans' reach to be able to do, even in a couple years. So I would say that if your salary is like $50,000 a year after taxes, per take home, I would say that probably 10 million sats would be a good aim, like 10 million sats or 10,000, one of the two. And then if you make under 50, I would say kind of like what you were getting at, Bob, is just like focus on, because like the other hard part too is that most Americans aren't just bad at investing. They're really, really bad at saving and budgeting. And I would say that if you're one of the individuals that is below 50,000 and you're really bad at saving, make it a step function, save 100, keep it for a couple weeks, double it, save it, keep it for a couple weeks or a couple months, double the goal. Like just keep doing it that way. Kind of a richest man in Babylon style, 10% of your income, and just really grind it out, get your debts taken care of. If you get your debts taken care of while you're doing it, while you're stacking, then you can afford to put more into it. Because that's the other thing too, is that it seems like it should be like, if you guys are like just getting into Bitcoin that you're listening and you haven't read Richest Man in Babylon, I would really recommend doing it, because there I've ran into this very interesting kind of, I don't know if it's cognitive dissonance or just people have been trained into this terrible mindset. But if you have a bunch of debt, I have come across a lot of Americans that are pouring all of their dollars into paying off that debt, doing it rich as style, which just for clarity's sake, I started doing this years before I even read this book. And the funny thing is that you shouldn't be piling every single extra dollar you have into getting rid of your debt, because then you're going to get the debt taken care of. And then you're going to be starting from zero. There's going to be absolutely nothing left. So what Richest Man in Babylon suggests is that you pay your debts, but you still take 10% of your income and you put it towards an investment, because then you're effectively paying your future self, and you're still rewarding yourself for all of the hard work. And eventually after the grind's done, you come out with the debt being gone, and you also have a little bit of an investment cushion lying underneath to be able to celebrate. So I just wanted to get that in, because I think a lot of people looking at Bitcoin are going to feel like they're way too late. And I agree with you, Bob. I think we're actually still extremely early, because once there's more liquidity in here, there are bigger players can trade it and things get really weird. So I think everybody, especially Americans and anybody around the world that might be listening, like just keep nibbling. Like you're not too late, and the number's not too big. There's 100 million little bits for a reason.
Yeah, good stuff. And I see we have Hunter up here. Welcome to the stage, sir. And I see your hand. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, lots of good stuff here. As far as the what number of Bitcoin you should try to hit, I love what everyone said. You know, try to get to one Bitcoin, but set up some smaller, manageable stacking goals. You know, hit that million sats. Hit that 10 million sats, but it's very kind of a personal journey for everyone, depending on how much discretionary income you've got to spend on these things. But set yourself a DCA amount that you can kind of just set up and forget about it, and figure out a way to have that come out every small amounts every day or every week or out of your paycheck, and then learn cold storage, how to self custody it, and then get your time preference long enough to where you're not looking at depending on that over maybe the next 4 or 5 years. You know, just have it stacking over time. I posted a comment in there, and it's a picture that really illustrates what Bitcoin's done over the last 10 years. Back in 2015, you could buy a Big Mac, and that same amount of Bitcoin now is worth $2,000. So we are still incredibly early. It's hard for people that are new to their journey to think about $122,000 Bitcoin is early. But the more you study it, the more you realize how far this is going to go. And you just need to start your journey now and set an amount that you don't even notice, even if it's a small amount. There's a cheeseburger amount in 2015 that's $2,000 now. So start now, throw something at it, and then learn self-custody, put that in cold storage, and just forget about it. Just let that thing compound, and you'll really make a difference in a 5-year time span.
Yeah, thanks for that. And I still see a bunch of hands up on one device, but not on the other. So I will chime in. Just maybe another reference point that's kind of funny I like the cheeseburger example because it's more recent, obviously. You probably also noticed, Hunter, that the cheeseburgers have gotten much smaller, or the quality has decreased in that same time as well. So I think that's interesting. But one thing I have to laugh at, and I saw this posted somewhere. I don't know. I go through too much media, admittedly. But I saw that, I don't know if you guys are familiar, but on Reddit, there's a Reddit thread called Buttcoin, and it's for all the people who hate on Bitcoin. I'd encourage you to look it up sometime if you ever use Reddit. But basically, it's all the naysayers. It's all the crybabies, the people who think Bitcoin is, you know, worthless and all these other things. And they post all kinds of things about it. And they're so sure of themselves. Yet, if you had just put $1 into Bitcoin at the time that Buttcoin on Reddit, that thread was created, it would be worth, wait for it, $900,000. $1 to $900,000. So anyway, it's pretty incredible. And yet there's still a ton of people on there going after Bitcoin and saying how it's worthless, and that, you know, we've all basically our minds have been corrupted to believe in this thing. And so I don't know, it's something you have to kind of just shake your head and laugh at. But there's a lot of people out there, guys, who actually are actively against Bitcoin. And I just think it's pretty incredible. For as many people are going to come on board because of the price action finally going up, there's still a lot of people out there who are naysayers and think we all have mass psychosis. So I'll kick it around, see if you guys have thoughts on that. Obviously, it's something to laugh at, but has anybody ever been on there?
Yeah. Those people need to zoom out on a chart. I mean, there's that website that shows you how many times people have claimed that Bitcoin is dead now. And, you know, if you zoom out far enough on the chart, you can see we got an upward trajectory. You just can't listen to those idiots. And I think it just calls for more study of Bitcoin. If you have those doubts, spend another 10 hours studying this, and eventually you're going to be at a point where you can just see that stuff coming a mile away and you can disregard it. Like, none of that stuff even, you know, ruffles my feathers anymore, just because it's based on FUD that's like 10 years old, or just, you can tell that these people have not put the time in to study what Bitcoin is. So it's the fact that I'm DCAing, I'm putting in a certain amount of money to where I'm comfortable with it. I have that going for me. I'm not trying to play catch up. You know, thankfully I've been around long enough to where I'm not in panic, you know, FOMO mode. But if you feel like you're in panic, you need to just study this thing harder. And then you're gonna understand what it is and not be worried by those people.
Yeah, good stuff. And, you know, the thing is, like, if you're in panic mode, you're going to do things. And this is, goes back to, you know, I don't mean to repeat myself, but this goes back to why I said earlier, not to, you know, take undue risk and not to compare yourself to other people. It's just going to get you into trouble. You're going to make silly decisions. And if it goes the wrong way on you, you're in trouble. In fact, I put up in the nest, and we can transition maybe now to this topic. I put up in the nest a post I did yesterday with choosing different paths. And one path is low time preference, as we've kind of already mentioned. So you just stack and build your Bitcoin stack. And then the other one is high time preference, which can lead to some huge pitfalls. And so I wanted to get people's thoughts on this. Obviously, you guys know where I stand. You guys think people should be borrowing against their Bitcoin in order to get more? Or do you think it's, you know, do you disagree, or do you agree with me that, and it's okay if you disagree, but do you agree with me that there's a risk in doing that, and people get sloppy when they take these risks?
I can chime in on this one, because I've gone back and forth on this, because the dollars that you take done and iterated done at the same time. So if it's a controlled taking out leverage, and if you're just some kind of rogue nut job where you're just not going to pay credit cards or whatever, and you know, you're just kind of Michael Saylor in it. You're getting Bitcoin and how you, what you do with the Bitcoin in your mouth in the future is, you know, like a young guy that's going into college and they give you extra money on top of your loans. Well, if you put that into Bitcoin instead of going out and, you know, eating Chipotle and Burger King every night and just cook chicken breasts at home, you're going to do better than those other students that are just taking that extra money. And, you know, but it all goes back to, like, I think it was Mike who was talking about the richest man in Babylon. These principles of money are coming back and really foundational now. You spend less than you make. You take 10% of what you earn and you put it towards your savings, and you let the rest kind of, you live life. You know, it's just a better system. It's a better railroad system we have now that we can build a stable foundation on. So all this credit garbage is actually going to go kind of bonkers, and then it'll settle back down.
Yeah, I mean, somebody really needs to make the Dave Ramsey of Bitcoin account and just post Ramseyisms, except instead of dollars, you use Bitcoin. And I think that's like super sound advice. It's great. The other option of taking out leverage and everything, like, I'm not going to lie, it could work out if you hit the timing right, but the odds of that are just so low. That, I mean, if you've ever touched options or anything like that, that has this time component constraint on it, you know how hard it is to time these things. And there is a scenario where, you know, hyper Bitcoinization occurs and all your debts get forgiven and everything. But it's like, you know, I don't think that's happening in the next 5 years, 10 years. But there's a possibility. And so, yeah, the tried and true approach, and it's like in that scenario, you're still going to be good if you were just stacking, you know, in a Dave Ramsey-esque way and having everything in order, and it'll be a lot less headache. You don't really account for your mental sanity in some of these math equations. It's hard to quantify that. And you're going to sleep a lot better at night and probably be able to hold on to your stack for longer if you, and not get divorced, not get your wife to leave you. If you just stay the course and do the tried and true, method of just stack low leverage and, or low or no leverage and, live your life.
Yeah, I wanted to add to that.
Yeah, go ahead, Bia.
Yeah, the feeling you get when you're in debt, because I've been in debt quite a few times and then out of it and ahead, you get a sense of like, ugh, nobody likes to be in debt. So I'm, you know, I think your best bet is just stacking and living within your means. You know, low time preference. Buy the old car, get you around, get you to work, and you know, when you're doing well, then go buy and splurge, whatever, get some land.
So I told you guys about this story on Friday. I hit that milestone on Thursday with the vehicle, and then another milestone happened on Saturday night. My wife and I had dinner, and we were sitting up in our media room, and we have like a 20-year-old house. I try to live, you know, a normal life here and stack as many sats as I can. Obviously I have a 300,000 mile vehicle. But you know, the house is nice, but there's been things since we purchased it 3 years ago that we said, hey, you know, we're going to have to fix these things, especially if we ever want to sell it, not fix, but just, you know, update. And so we were sitting there and I kind of broached the topic with her again. And she looked at me and she said, you know, I think we can wait a little bit longer. Let's just hold on to Bitcoin a little bit longer. And I looked at her, and so we've been married 20 years now. And I looked at her and I said, I want to renew our vows right now. No, but seriously, she finally gets it. And it's just cool to see. And so I'm kind of proud. Like, maybe it's because she secretly listens to the recordings of this. But it's just funny to see, you know, it's taken all these years, over a decade, for her to finally get Bitcoin to the level that she does. And it's funny. She still couldn't tell you much about like the technicals or anything like that, but she knows that it just keeps going up in value. And so, yeah, maybe I'll get your guys' reaction to that, and then we can switch to the next topic. Yeah. But I'm just hitting milestones, guys.
Yeah.
Just milestone after milestone.
If this thing turns around, I'm going to blame your wife as the canary in the coal mine now, and it's all her fault.
Reverse Kramer.
Yeah, it is funny. But on the other, like the opposite end of that, I did have a referral from a client that I've been kind of chatting back and forth with, and the gentleman is looking to figure out how to get his SEP IRA in there and asking questions like, you know, should I cash it out and pay the taxes and things like that. And so like, there are people that are desperate to get into this market. And, you know, now that Bitcoin's crashed under 121,000 and you can now pick up 827 sats for each US dollar, might be a good time if you're just getting started to buy this dip here. I mean, this is amazing. The volatility we're seeing, guys, is just truly amazing. TJ, welcome to the stage, sir. How are you? What's on your mind with new all-time highs? I think maybe you were a catalyst Saturday morning.
I don't think so, but we'll try and keep the Saturday spaces going just in case. I just jumped up to say we were talking, you know, taking loans against your Bitcoin, that sort of stuff. And someone was saying, pulling a sailor. Just wanted to highlight, if you're pulling a sailor, you're doing it with debt that you can't get liquidated on a temporary downtrend. So using like bank debt or some sort of debt that is not the just collateralized with Bitcoin, where you've given up custody and someone can liquidate you. Because that's not what strategy is doing there. And I think it's just an important thing for anyone who's taken out loans to consider, is what risk are you really taking with the Bitcoin? And if you can do it without taking the risk of a liquidation, that's way, way better. So, and there's still cheap debt out there for that. Cheaper than you can get collateralized. So if you've got access to it, use that instead.
Yeah, it's a good point. And, you know, it gets me thinking, TJ, actually, we have a lot of relatively newcomers to the Bitcoin space, and they run spaces and they're big names. And, you know, a lot of these guys are super high net worth or ultra high net worth, and they're approaching this quite a bit differently than I think the average person should be. And so for as much as these spaces are great to get new people involved and help people understand what this asset is and the freedom money that it is, we have some voices out there. I don't think they're trying to be malicious by any means, but I think there's new folks that come into the space and end up with some misconceptions and are thinking about things maybe in the wrong way. And so maybe it's just a little bit of a critique. Maybe you guys disagree with me, but curious to thoughts on that from anybody. You guys notice that same thing?
I mean, yeah, man, I think you hear it on some of these spaces. You see it in the tweets and stuff, like people even tweeting out some of their positions and stuff, which I think actually helps to highlight you know, the amount of money some people are using at this versus what others are. I think anyone who's listening to Twitter Spaces, I think it's definitely a risk if you get that FOMO of like people up here talking about different positions and stuff and thinking you need to be doing all of that. And that's where people start to get out ahead of themselves or start to feel like they need to be invested in these different instruments instead of just saving in Bitcoin, like you guys were kind of saying earlier, as far as the target amounts and stuff, like just saving sats. Not everyone needs to be doing Misty and MicroStrategy option strategies and all this shit, is I guess what I'm saying. In fact, most people shouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's a great point. There's a lot of a lot of noise that people need to cut through to really figure this out. And what I'll say is, you know, we do bring up a variety of topics and strategies and different things on here, but I'm hoping that people know that I would say most of the people that come up on this stage are here for helping the audience. I'm not up here to get, sure, I've got, you know, some followers, right? But I'm not up here to, you know, for myself. Like I want to help as many people achieve financial freedom through Bitcoin as possible. And I think the Bitcoin Veterans is a great group of people to do this with and through. And so, yeah, I'm just really appreciative. Like when I wake up in the morning and I'm like, man, I get to do this again. I get to get on this platform X and talk to people about this amazing asset that most people still don't know about. And I don't want to rip people or be negative. If you catch me doing that, call me out. But I just think it's great that we can sit here and chat about this stuff each day and hopefully help people come alongside of us. And the way I feel about it is if you win, we all win. And if you lose, you're probably going to tell a ton of people around you. And I've seen it throughout the years. I've been in this space a long time. And if you lose, you're probably going to tell 50 people, even random strangers, if the topic ever comes up. But if you win, you're probably going to tell 4 or 5 of your closest friends. And so when I approach this space, I really try to think about, man, who am I talking to? What's the audience? Can we have a civil discussion? Can we keep it positive? And if I'm here doing this for myself, then I might as well not be up here at all. So I want to welcome Tao to the stage. He's been in it for a few years too, and would love to hear from him. Go ahead, TJ.
I was going to say, if I can jump in, it's hilarious that Tao's here, because Tao, I was just about to mention you. I was going to say, this space is great, I think, for just discussing the different stuff that's out there and like different understandings on it without seeming like it's shilling. And I was going to make a joke that the closest it gets to shilling is when Tao's up here talking Misty. But that's just because he's done well with it, and hearing him explain how he's using it is the closest I think we get to that, because he's again, it's been a positive. But appreciate you, bud. And how's your Misty doing? Just fucking around.
Hey, good morning, guys. No, I came up here because I heard Bob mentioning about, you know, wanting to do this, and that's one of the more enjoyable things for him every morning to help out. And that actually kind of lit a little spark in me, because you know, probably about 4 or 5 years ago when Bitcoin Twitter Spaces started, that was really my motivation. I mean, because it was a new thing and you're so excited about Bitcoin, you wanted to teach, you wanted to do all these things and educate, et cetera, et cetera. And it took a lot of time though, right? It did take a lot of effort, and you would have to schedule around it and depend on what you want to do and on the weekends, et cetera. But I do believe that's one of the motivations for a lot of people in the future, if their situation allows for it. I think that'll be something that will be appealing to me if I didn't have to do fiat mining throughout the day, et cetera, right? Is to say, hey, you know, I want to do this and specifically help the new people who are just starting to learn Bitcoin. And, they don't know much about it, or they're still trying to learn, because what happens is as they are learning,
you too are learning, right? Because you need to prepare materials, or you had to go through the sort of like documentation about lightning or do some transactions, or you know, you have to do things like that so that, you know, you can, you know, have a good sort of space to help people. And at the same time, you're not only are you learning, but as you're doing spaces, I remember this is, you know, people would also jump into, have good discussions, and then they will also give their inputs. But I think the difficult part though, at sometimes is, you know, keeping it civil, making sure that, hey, the conversation doesn't deviate from what is its purpose, right? Like, I think, Bob, you guys do a really good job about doing that, about keeping it to its purpose to help people. And the more we do that, it's kind of like a positive thing, right? You always want to do something positive to allow, you know, for a better world, really, right? You want the world to be a better place. And that was one of the main reasons why I got into Bitcoin. It was because it allows you to participate and contribute in some small way for positivity, and you know, liberation of freedom, you know, financial freedom for all. And that's a very important thing. So yeah, I think if Bitcoin goes high enough, maybe that'll be the direction that, that I may pursue, because then, you know, you'll have that leisure time. Oh, okay. I don't need to worry about the fiat money and maybe schedule some time, to do this other thing. Cause I do know a few people on Bitcoin Twitter that I talk to that they are already in that phase. Cause I asked them, I said, so, you know, what, you know, you're at this age and what is it like, you know, that gets you going? And they literally say, yeah, you know, my mojo is, you know, just working in the Bitcoin field, doing what I'm doing, because at that point, they are not consumed by all the other obligations and responsibilities, you know, with maybe family or fiat mining, etc. So yeah, I just wanted to say that because I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, good stuff. Thanks for coming up. I did think that you should also, though, answer TJ's question about Misty. How you feeling? I know, here's what I'll say, Tal, real quick. I think, it probably is a good tool for some people. Obviously you've had success, which is great. My thoughts on it are, because it's not truly a dividend, that there's decay in the underlying. And while that may not be a problem for people who got into it early, I think that at some point it has somewhat of a shelf life, and people should be careful. This kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier, which is, you know, focus on stacking sats. Get that down. And once you've been around for a while, you can better assess the risks of things like this and whether it's fits your risk profile. So Tao, give us an
update. I think this will absolutely help, because I've kind of gone through this sort of conversation for like probably over a month now. And even more recently, like I don't bring it up, but people still want to ask questions, or they want to just poke at me, et cetera, which is all in good fun, right? It's just all good fun. So here's the answer to everybody's question, like in at any given time, right? At any given time. So there's a special thing that's called AI, right? That's called Grok. That's called ChatGPT. If you just literally plug in the parameters and you just ask it, hey, you know, what is the performance between the two? If, let's say, you put in an initial amount for a particular time frame, and it'll just spit out that data, right? It'll just spit out that data for you so that you can sort of do your own sort of like, you know, analysis. Now, I plugged in some data, this morning, right? This morning to say, hey, from the time that I started, right, which is probably January 1st of this year to today, what is the sort of result? And so, and it was very interesting, right? Cause you would expect that, BTC pumped, significantly, and therefore it should be, you know, pretty high. However, according to Grok, that's not the case, and that still, there's still some, performance. And this is not to say, guys, to go into doing what I did, right? So I just put in a analysis in case anybody wants to refer to the results, right? So even though, like, Missy was doing good, it's not without tremendous, tremendous risk, right? Because I've seen times, well, I actually heard about it. I didn't pay attention, but I've seen it where it goes like 50%, you know, a dip, like in a day. Literally, it could be $20 right now or 20 whatever. And it could go like, you know, $15 or $13 at one point. So that is the crazy risk someone would have to take if they were willing to, wanting to capitalize on the results, right? But I think to answer like all these questions, because people throw all sorts of numbers at me and all this time frame, the loss of upside, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I say, guys, it's not necessary to, you know, start talking about percentages, number, et cetera, because you have AI that literally gives you that information, right? So use it to your advantage, and you can, you know, get results here and there. Now, here's the thing. This is not something that replaces or Bitcoin, right? Bitcoin is that super duper long-term best asset thing ever. Plus, you need to have Bitcoin first. You can't do this sort of thing. Like, I've been stacking Bitcoin since 2017, 2018, guys. And so, you know, I would say I'm pretty good position, And, you know, when you have certain situations where you have like a tax haven account and it's maybe you already have capital that's trapped in that account, you need to utilize whatever tools are in front of you to increase that wealth, right? And so what happened for me personally is that I had money stuck in regular stocks, even worse, right? Way worse. I had money stuck in regular stocks like ExxonMobil and NextEra Energy, and they were just giving me peanuts every quarter. And so when you see, when you're being mindful about your particular portfolio and situation, you don't just leave it alone, right? You don't just, okay, well, whatever, I'll just leave it in stocks, right? you don't want to do that. And so for me, I saw a tremendous opportunity to get rid of those bad stocks and also put it into, you know, MISTI to allow me to increase my wealth. Now, people say, well, you could withdraw that to do Bitcoin or whatever. Yes, I have a different set of cash flow, right, for Bitcoin. So it's like all bases are sort of covered. So I think people, they jump into a situation when they don't have a clear picture on an individual's financial situation, account setup, you know, priorities, et cetera. And so when people actually have reached out to me in the DM to say, hey, I'm curious as to what has happened, blah, 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 I give them all the information, say, hey, you know, you can't do this. Okay. It's risky, right? Are you willing to take this risk? Right. Are you willing to take this 50% dip in 1 or 2 days? I mean, it's your money and, you know, you do what you want with that, but I absolutely point out the risk and I say, look at the, you know, the general trend, right? Where it just decays. Look at all of this information. Do your own research, of course, right? And I just laid out to them, hey, this is how I did it. But I, in a way, if you think about it, you know, got someone lucky, in the situation. And so this is not something that happens for everybody, but yeah, it's just like, I think as people have these conversations, because I've been having these conversations for like months, right, with different people. And I just think people need to utilize AI to just get whatever performance results they want to get. And hey, if you think about long term, though, Bitcoin ultimately it's going to beat it. But, you know, maybe there's certain time frames for whatever reason you need it for whatever, right? If you need like, income to, you know, live your life, et cetera, you know, your age, et cetera. Now, those are so many different factors that are unique to the individual. And so once people are able to see everything, then they can make up their minds whether this is something that would fit for them or not. So yeah, that's all I had. Thanks, Paul.
No, that's a really good comprehensive summary. I feel the same way. I think it's really good to tell people to use AI if you're comfortable and if you understand how to prompt. I think one of the biggest skills, and it seems maybe to some who have experience so simple to prompt AI, but if you can get good at it, you could get some really good feedback, especially when it's data related and research related. but that risk side could be a little bit problematic for people. And so that's where, you know, sometimes you need a professional, or sometimes you just need an ear of someone else. And so it's good that people are reaching out to you, Tao. I have people reach out to me all the time too about certain topics around this stuff, just to get, you know, a perspective. And it's not to say, you know, I would always be right or Tao would always be right. But I think we've been in this space long enough, and a lot of these other guys up here too, that we can give people at least perspective and try to help make sure they're not making crazy decisions just because they're FOMOing into something. And so I tend not to talk my book, but I do think that there's opportunities out there. As Tao said, you have to assess those for yourself. And yeah, I think I'll leave this one at that. We're coming up here on the end of the show, guys. And I do want to say I thank everybody for coming up here, but did want to give everybody maybe one last stab before we close out the show. Did anybody else want to add anything? We got Wade, BFP, Texas Toast, TJ, Hunter, Tao.
I want to say something first. Sorry to jump in front of everybody. But, you know, this price rip that we're having with Bitcoin, guys, you need to control your emotions inside. Because, you know, for some people, this is like tremendously life-changing wealth. And what happens is, it affects you mentally, and you start to maybe feel a little bit, you know, a little overly confident, et cetera, right? And, you know, I just think that people have to really be mindful of, you know, how they act, how they interact, you know, cause I do see people starting to be a little bit, condescending, cause, oh yeah, I'm this much more wealthy, et cetera, et cetera. And you should not let it change you as, you know, as a good, you know, caring person that you are, right? Don't let it affect you in a negative way is all I gotta say.
Sage advice from Tao. Thank you, sir. Let's go to BFP. Any final words?
Yeah, I think it just brings up the old meme with Kermit the Frog. It's watch your mouth day at work. The more it goes up, it's more like, do I really need to be doing what I'm doing today? And I think just staying productive and good-natured, like Tao said, is important. But keep stacking and beat your craft. That's the best way to enjoy a bull market.
Yeah, TJ, we still got you. Do you have any final words?
If you are doing this investing stuff outside of Bitcoin, measure it in sats. Just as an example of that, I've got we were talking on Saturday about my silly thesis behind MicroStrategy. And just looking at that one, if you look at my stock brokerage account, I'm up like 30 something percent on those shares. If you measure it in Bitcoin, I'm up 2%. I've gone from 360 some odd thousand sats a share to 371 today. So that's how you should be measuring shit.
It is great perspective. And there is that tool we talked about from Marty Bent. Do you guys remember what that one's called? Opportunity Cost.
Opportunity Cost. Yep. I secretly put that on my wife's computer, and it was the funniest thing. She had no idea. She's like, Amazon's got sats on that. I died laughing. It's great.
Texas Toast, how about you?
Just take that and go to the IRS pages. Have all the government pages show sats. That's even funnier.
Maybe we don't have Texas Toast anymore. He can jump in after Hunter. Hunter, any final words?
Yeah, I'm here. I would just encourage people to not, you know, obsess too much about Bitcoin, looking at your phone all day. Don't quit your jobs. Find other things to focus on in your life, your faith, your health, your family. Just Bitcoin's amazing, but the world's still spinning, and there's a lot of things happening outside of our computer screens and phones. And that's it. Stack sats, guys.
Yeah, I always tell people I want real live data. I want the actual live price. And if you guys are constantly refreshing the price, you're slowing down my ability to get real-time data. So quit doing that. quit refreshing your phone and the price all the time so I can get mine. No, I'm just kidding. But that's a great point.
Best way to get real-time data is to go out there and spend or buy Bitcoin.
There you go.
And then you get the real price right then.
All good advice, guys. Thanks so much for this panel today, guys. Follow these guys. Join us again tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern. We do this each weekday, and we're going to try, if we can, schedule-wise, to team up with TJ again on some of the Saturdays when it works. But if you guys need help with anything, DM any of these guys up here, me included, or go to bitcoinveterans.org and put your information in. And we will get you plugged in for helpful resources, answer your questions, all that good stuff. But guys, that's all we have for today. Other than one last thing, I did see in the chat that when I'm playing the Sailor remix, that I'm cutting off the space too early. And so you guys are not hearing it fully. So I will try to make sure that I give a few extra counts in my head before we end the space. There's a little bit of a time lag there. So I want to wish you guys all a wonderful Monday. Make sure you stack some sats. You can still get 830 sats for each US dollar. But remember, don't buy XRP. Don't shitcoin. It's like bringing a knife to a gunfight.
Use fiat currency as a store of